Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All together, please. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yukta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vidamtam Sajivam Sarvetam Sarvadutam Prijana Setam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dhina Bandhu Jagadpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapcha Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhana Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Paditanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Translation and Commentary His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Chapter 21, The Movements of the Sun. Fifth canto, of course. So, in this 21st chapter, the first purport is on verse 3. So I'll read the English to verse number 1 and 2. Then I'll read the Sanskrit to verse number 3. It's a prose verse, so I'll just read that, and then we'll read the translation together. So, text number 1. Sukadev Goswami said, My dear King, I have thus far described the diameter of the universe, 50 crores of yojanas, or 4 billion miles, and its general characteristics, according to the estimations of learned scholars. Text number 2. As a grain of wheat is divided into two parts, and one can estimate the size of the upper part by knowing that of the lower, so expert geographers instruct one can understand the measurements of the upper part of the universe by knowing those of the lower part. The sky between the earthly sphere and the heavenly sphere is called antariksha, or outer space. It adjoins the top of the sphere of the earth and the bottom of that of heaven. So, today's verse is rather long. There's only a few words there, but I'll read the Sanskrit. Yadmadya gato bhagavans tapatam patistapana atapena trilokim prapati avabhasyati atmabhaso saeva udga yana dakshina yana vaishnu vata samgyan bir sam manja samgriya samanabhir gitibir aroha navarohana sama standeshu yata samavnan abhipadyo mano mukara dikshu rashiswo aho ratrani digra risva samanani vidyate. So, translation Srila Prabhupada. In the midst of that region of outer space, Antariksha, is the most opulent sun, the king of all the planets that emanate heat, such as the moon. By the influence of its radiation, the sun heats the universe and maintains its proper order. It also gives light to help all living entities see. While passing toward the north, toward the south, or through the equator, in accordance with the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is said to move slowly, swiftly, or moderately. According to its movements in rising above, going beneath, or passing through the equator, and correspondingly coming in touch with various signs of the zodiac, headed by Makara, Capricorn, days and nights are short, long, or equal to one another. Please repeat. In the midst of that region of outer space, Antariksha, is the most opulent sun, the king of all the planets that emanate heat, such as the moon. By the influence of its radiation, the sun heats up the universe and maintains its proper order. It also gives light to help all living entities see. While passing toward the north, toward the south, or through the equator, in accordance with the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is said to move slowly, swiftly, or moderately, according to its movements in rising above, going beneath, or passing through the equator, and correspondingly coming in touch with various signs of the zodiac, headed by Makara, Capricorn, days and nights are short, long, or equal to one another. Purport Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma says, praise in the Brahma Samhita 552. Yak chaksho esa savita sakala grahana raja samasta sura murti asesa teja yashyag yagya brahmati sambriti kala chakro govindam adi purisham tamaham bhajami. Translation. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose control even the sun, which is considered the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. The sun is the king of all planetary systems and has unlimited potency in heat and light. Although the sun is described as Bhagavan, the most powerful, and although it is actually the most powerful planet within the universe, it nevertheless has to carry out the order of Govinda Krishna. The sun god cannot deviate even an inch from the orbit designated to him. Therefore, in every sphere of life, the supreme order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is carried out. The entire material nature carries out his orders. However, we foolishly see the activities of material nature without understanding the supreme order and supreme person behind them. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshena Prakritihi, material nature carries out the orders of the Lord, and thus everything is maintained in an orderly way. Translation. Makam karoti vachalam phangam laite grim yad kripa tamaham vande shri gurun dinatarinam. In the midst of that region of outer space, Antariksha, is the most opulent sun, the king of all planets that emanate heat, such as the moon. By the influence of its radiation, the sun heats the universe and maintains its proper order. It also gives light to help all living entities see. While passing toward the north, toward the south, or through the equator, in accordance with the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is said to move slowly, swiftly, or moderately. According to its movements in rising above, going beneath or passing through the equator, and correspondingly coming in touch with various signs of the zodiac, headed by Makara, Capricorn, days and nights are short, long, or equal to one another. So, the movements of the sun. Yes. So the sun is moving relative to the earth. There's no doubt. We see it moving across the sky. Now, if you take the sun as a fixed point, then the earth is moving relative to the sun. But actuality, even the material scientists say that the sun is moving. They speculate that it is on one of the outer arms of a galaxy in the Milky Way, and that that galaxy is moving, and that the sun is fixed. But actually that sun is moving, so there's a contradiction. However, whatever you take as the fixed point, you calculate from there. So in the Surya Siddhanta, there is calculation of the movements of the planet taking the sun as the fixed point. However, the Bhagavatam, from the point of view of earth, takes the earth as the fixed point. So in this way, the argument about which is fixed is satisfied. When two bodies are in relative motion and you want to calculate their relative motion, you take one as the fixed point. To put it simply, if two people are approaching each other, one is walking at 3 miles an hour and another is walking at 4 miles an hour, you take one as the fixed point, you add 3 and 4, and relatively, their motion is 7 miles an hour in approach. So this squabble about which is the fixed point is needless, because in scientific calculation, as we say, one chooses a fixed point and calculates accordingly. So the point is, in the Bhagavatam, gives the motion of the sun relative to the earth. And we see, as stated here in the verse, that the sun is moving in the northern portion now, north of the equator in its dakshina. Uttara is when it is moving in the southern movement. So when the sun moves to the south, then we have winter in the northern hemisphere, and when the sun moves upwards towards the north, we have summer, as we're experiencing now. And because the sun has altered its path relative to the earth, we see now that if you look at midday, the sun is practically overhead. There's practically no shadow. Of course, when you're down in the south, then the shadow is extended. because of the angle. So of course when the sun is in the mid-course, then the days are even. Now the days are longer, even about 4:45, 4:30, you can see some light in the sky. So these points are made here throughout this chapter actually. It's about 19 verses long, the movements of the sun. And it describes how the sun is under the control of the Supreme Lord. And we see in this verse that the potency of the sun heats up the universe and the planetary systems, but also there's an interesting point, it maintains order. So Srila Prabhupada, one lecture, he says like that the planets are tied together in their orbit by the potency of the sun. Of course, the materialistic scientists, they want to calculate the gravitational effect simply in mathematical terms. So we don't say that is not invalid, because obviously you can calculate through mathematics the speed an object accelerates when it is dropped from a high point, say from a roof. You can calculate the speed that object will fall and accelerate by the influence of gravity. However, and similarly, you can calculate by the movements of the sun relative to the earth, you can calculate the length of the days, the length of the nights, and you can come to some mathematical understanding of the universe. But the point is, there is more involved than the mathematics. This is the point. Yes, there is a mathematical calculation of gravity, and it has a certain validity on this planet because of the mass of the earth and the mass of the object and so on. Sri Sri Gornitai Krishna Balaram Radhisham Sundar Lalit Vishaka Shalagram Maharaj Giri Govardhan Gomata Tulsi Maharani Sri Guru Parampara Rakhi Jai. However, if you calculate the movement of an object through gravity or the movement of the sun, and then you finish your calculation and give an equation to your students, you would be in a very foolish position if you also told them, and therefore I have explained everything. Huh? Just like we gave the example last week. This temple, we have Goshala, book department, we have different devotional paraphernalia shops, we have the prasadam stand, we have the undis. So yes, that is the financial aspect. And so you can calculate the income and expenditure of the temple. And the bank manager may look at all the different accounts, and he may calculate, and he will give interest accordingly, and he will see money has been spent in the Goshala account for the cows, and money has been spent in the prasadam account for the guests and the devotees. But if the bank manager thinks, now I understand everything about what is happening in the temple because I know the mathematical calculation of their bank account, that would be a very foolish position. Huh? That does not calculate the desire of the temple president, the emotional and physical needs of the devotees. It does not even touch upon the feelings, the emotions of the cows, and what is happening here and there. It is simply a mathematical rendition of the activities in the temple. But everyone can agree there is more going on than the movement of the finances. People are in charge of the Lakshmi. Narayan is in charge of the Lakshmi Devi. Narayan is Shaktiman, and he is the possessor of the Shakti, Shakti Lakshmi Devi. So similarly, this universe, we may calculate so many aspects of the universe, and the scientists do that mathematically. They calculate this, they calculate that. But it is a foolish position to think that now I have calculated the effect of gravity, therefore I have explained gravity. Huh? You have not explained the potency involved. You have not explained the creation of that potency. You have not explained how that potency acts and why it acts. So the Bhagavatam, though it gives these aspects of the universe and gives us a hint of the layout of the universe, the point is to direct the living entity towards meditation upon that possessor of potency who has created this universe with all its wonderful arrangements. In the Gita, Krishna says, Yad yad vibhutimat satram srimad urditam evava tat tat eva vagachchatvam myasa tejo myasambhavam. Know, Arjuna, that all beautiful and wonderful creations that you see in this universe, what to speak of this material universe, this spiritual universe, which is a far superior energy, know that it has simply sprung from a single spark of my splendor. Krishna, Baladev, Ananta Sesh means unlimited. So the second point in the Dashamula in understanding the position of the Supreme Lord is Ananta Shakti. In the Dashamula, Dasha means 10. Mula means root points. So the Vedic literature is condensed into 10 root points. Now, 3 of those deal with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first one, is Hari Ishwara. Hari Ishwara means Hari, that the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Controller. This noise cannot continue. The second point is Achincha Shakti Savama, that Krishna, besides being the Supreme Controller, you have to be quiet. When you take darshan, remain quiet. We're doing a very serious business here. You can talk anywhere, but not here. So, the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Controller. He is possessed of unlimited Shakti, unlimited in depth and variety. So by these potencies, he has created and maintained the material universe. Everything is resting upon his potency. He tells Arjuna that point. But this potency by which he is maintaining and creating the material universes has to be understood as a simple fraction. The Supreme Lord This is not a railway station. Every class is the same. We should have darshan at 9 o'clock and have proper concentration on the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is not a side issue. The glorification of the Supreme Lord and his potencies is more important. So everything is resting upon the potency of the Supreme Lord. And through this potency, the whole creation is maintained and developed. Now in this verse, Prabhupada finishes on this point in the purport. Material nature carries out the orders of the Lord. Thus everything is maintained in an orderly way. So the point is that the material nature is not working simply upon mechanical, mathematical calculations. That is a very mechanical, impersonal, insubstantial, glib, and superficial description of the universe. It is devoid of glorification of the potencies of the Supreme Lord. It is the mindset of the atheistic mentality that is being cultured in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, everything is considered mechanically and impersonally. Srila Prabhupada, we chant his sloka, Nirvisesha Sunyavadi, that he is defeating those people who think that the Supreme Lord is Nirvisesh, devoid of all potency, and Sunyavad, those that say that the absolute truth is zero, is even before zero, it is non-existent. This is the foolish proposal of the materialist, that everything has come from nothing. But as we've said many times, nothing is not there in the first place for anything to come from. Nothing explodes means nothing has exploded, or there's nothing there to explode. But the materialists, they turn nothing into something. And yet, with contradiction, they propose that this nothing is something that can explode. That is a contradiction in terms. But no, the creation is an emanation from the absolute truth. And that supreme absolute truth is full of unlimited potencies in variety and depth. And through those potencies, the creation is maintained, as Prabhupada says, in an orderly way. There is no entropy This is one of the questions in philosophy. Why do the atoms and molecules, the protons, neutrons and electrons, why do they maintain their activity and create a molecule or an atom? Why does not just the whole universe dissipate into a kind of amorphous mist, a mixture of material energy? What is maintaining the variety in taste, in touch, in odor, in sight, in sound? What is maintaining everything in its proper perspective, upon which we depend? As Prabhupada, the verse explains, that through the emanation of light from the sun, we are able to perceive. We think very nicely, my eyes are very wonderful, I can read and I can see in the distance. But that potency, that ability to see, is entirely dependent upon the sun. Without the supply of energy, light from the sun, then we cannot see anything. So similarly, we should understand that the existence of the universe is dependent upon the will of the Supreme Lord. The universe is resting upon the desire of the Supreme Lord. The universe is an expression of the desire of the Supreme Lord. One name of Krishna in Upanishads is Satya Sankalp. His determination, Sankalp, becomes Satya, truth. So our Sankalp, our determination, can also become truth, but only by the sanction, the will of the Supreme Lord. We are dependent living entities, dependent upon the Supreme Lord, in the same way that the universe is dependent upon the Supreme Lord. And figuratively here we see described that the potency of the sun maintains the universe. We see that without the sun, the flowers would not bloom, the trees would not grow, the grains would not grow in the field. We are completely dependent upon the sun for our sustenance. So the sun, it is explained in the Shastra, gets its potency from the Brahmajyoti, the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Lord. It is a transformation of the spiritual effulgence of the Supreme Lord. But the Upanishads, Isha Upanishad explains, Hiranmayena Patrenya Satyasya Pihitam Mukham. O Lord, please remove that glowing effulgence so that I can see your form of bliss. So similarly, when we see the potency of the sun and we see the potencies expressed and calculated by science in terms of mathematical formulas, we should understand that these arrangements rest upon the arrangement and the potency of the Supreme Lord, in the same way that the potency of the sun is maintaining life upon earth. So the point of the Bhagavatam is to get this idea to the devotee. In this material world, there is a mixture of conscious entities and the impersonal unconscious matter. Stone, water, these are unconscious elements. But the living entity, the soul, is conscious. Consciousness is characterized by self-awareness. Unconscious entities have no ability to calculate their own position. Therefore, you can cut dead wood, you can hit a stone, it will not protest. It is unaware of its state. But a conscious entity is able to perceive his own state. So the living entity in the material world is mixed with the gross material body and the subtle material mind. And he is conscious of this material energy, which works in a mechanical, impersonal way to some aspect. However, the Supreme Lord is the maintainer of that arrangement. And the Bhagavatam is constructed to direct the involved living entity, the living entity entrapped in the material energy, to that final point, to the source, as Lord Brahma starts his fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachit Ananda Vigraha. So it's describing Krishna. His form is composed of eternality, knowledge and bliss. His form is non-different from himself, Vigraha. He has a personality that is non-different from himself. But in this material world, we are mixed up with the material energy, and our form is asat. It is material, temporary. It is achit. It is subject to illusion. It does not perceive correctly. It is nirananda. We do not enjoy unlimitedly. And vigraha, our form and nature, our personality, our bodily, is imposed upon the sun, imposed upon the soul. So the soul, Sachidananda Vigraha, is covered by the material illusion. And therefore he looks to the material energy as an explanation for his life and sustenance. And now in this modern age, the impersonal science, and you see that science, whatever department it is, physics, biology, chemistry, the ultimate production is a formula, a mathematical description of events. But we have already explained that this is only a very partial, insubstantial explanation. So the Bhagavatam lifts us out of this impersonal perception of the mechanical material energy, which is unconscious and thereby impersonal, to the conception of the source. And that source is Sachit Ananda. It is unlimited in variety, in scope, in potency, in leela. Anadir Adir Govinda. It is the uncaused source of everything. And the principles that we find in the material creation, what to speak of the spiritual creation, Sarva Karana Karanam, that everything rests upon the Supreme Lord. He is the cause of all causes. So the Bhagavatam, it gives a description of the universe, particularly in the fifth canto, and that is necessary for a Purana. It should have creation and sub-creation. There's five elements for a correct Purana. So it is developed in the fifth canto, the description of the creation, for the benefit of the living entity. And what benefit is that? To help the living entity focus upon the cause of all causes, the source of everything. This is the purpose of the Bhagavatam. Manmana bhavamad bhakto, Krishna explains in the Gita. He explains that fix your consciousness upon me, manmana. Bhavamad Bhakto, in a devotional way. Bhaktima Bhavijananti Yavanyas Tasmi Tatprataha, that only by bhakti I can be known. And through this we can have some realization, as Krishna reveals himself, of that unlimited source, that Satchit Ananda Vigraha. And this stands in contradistinction to the proposal of the foolish material scientists that everything has come from nothing. So if you meditate upon Krishna, you have Goloka Vrindavan to look forward to. But if you meditate upon nothing, then you have nothing to look forward to. So that is their proposal, that you have nothing to look forward to. Once the material elements of the body break down through accident, old age, disease, whatever, then that is the end of you. And you can look up in the internet, these atheistic people, they explain that there is no explanation, there's no purpose for life. So of course this is a very foolish and depressing, dejected idea. And they, on the basis of the foolish Darwinian idea, that it is all accidental creation by a combination of atoms and molecules. So the very simple point is, if life is created out of chemicals, then prove it. All the chemicals and atoms and molecules and your super collider is here, combine them all and create life. But that you cannot do. No, life comes from life. Conscious entities come from unconscious entities. Dead bodies don't give birth to children. Living bodies give birth to living entities. Consciousness is separate from the material body. And what is the difference in chemicals between the dead body and the living body? We know what is a dead body, it is unconscious. The soul departs and the body is inert matter. All the chemicals remain. Why not give it some of your special chemicals that create life and bring it back to life? That you cannot do. You can only propose and speculate and theorize and theorize and give a new theory every week or every month. But the Bhagavatam says, no, don't fix your mind on nothing and speculate about how this material energy is working. Rather, fix your mind upon the Supreme Lord, the cause of all causes. Understand His glorious potencies by what you see before you. And understand that the universe ultimately, with all its laws and functions, is resting upon the Supreme Lord. As Krishna says in the Gita, Sutri Mani Gana Iva, that everything is resting upon me just as pearls are strung upon a thread. This is a very simple point. If you take the thread out of your bead bags, it will, of your neck beads, then the neck beads will form entropy, they will fall apart. But because of the potency of the Supreme Lord, He is woven in three dimensions, four dimensions, upon all aspects of reality. And by that thread of the Supreme Lord, the material and spiritual creation is maintained in an orderly way according to His will. And this material world, with its sufferings, is meant to inspire us to give it up. and the happinesses of this world, what part do they play for the devotee? You may ask. Okay, we're suffering in this material universe, so I want to find some spiritual explanation rather than a mathematical formula for my suffering. Very good. Well, what about the happinesses of this world? And we do see happiness. We've all said many months ago that the materialists, they say, because they're suffering, there is no God. This is very banal logic, yes? So even if you accept this foolish idea, by the same token, there is happiness, therefore there is God. If you say because of unhappiness, suffering in the material world, there is no God, then by the same token, because there is happiness, there must be God. But actually, we all know that if a crazy man, he's in Tihar jail in Delhi, and he says, I'm suffering in this jail. Now the government is not meant to make people suffer. It's meant to make people happy. That is a reasonable statement. Therefore, the government does not exist. Huh? The government is putting me in a suffering condition. Therefore, I am concluding that the government does not exist. No, you rascal. The proof that you're in the jailhouse is proof that there is a higher power than you. And you're being fed in the jail. You're eating nice khichdi 3 times a day. So that's a proof that the government is maintaining you. So the happinesses of this world, they are an indication of the unmixed happiness in the transcendental abode. There is happiness of doing a good job serving one's master. There is happiness from friendship. There is happiness of having children. There is conjugal happiness. There is humor. There is astonishment. There is the happiness of chivalry. There is the happiness of compassion. So, these happinesses in the material world are insubstantial, but they indicate the happiness for which we are made. Anandamoya Vyasat, the Vedanta Sutra explains that the absolute truth, Janmadiyashyata, from which everything has emanated, the absolute truth is full of pleasure. And we are made for pleasure. Therefore we are pleasure seeking. But unfortunately, we are seeking pleasure on the material plane. We are thinking that if I enjoy this material energy, that is wonderful. If I get a plasma TV or a big car, then stout children and a tubby wife, then I'm enjoying wonderfully. But this is not happiness. This is temporary agitation of the senses. Actually, happiness in the material world comes from sattva-gun. It doesn't come from material acquisition. And sattva-gun is a good platform from which to become established in the transcendental realm. So the happinesses of this world, they are insubstantial and covered, but they indicate the happiness for which we are made. However, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto indicates that transcendental happiness is achieved by dovetailing, linking one's consciousness with the absolute truth. And after we have become devotee, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji, that we should offer everything to the Supreme Lord. All our activities under regulated guidance of the Shastra, we cannot offer pap to the Supreme Lord. We can Madhyaji Mam Namas Guru, in a mood of humility, offer those activities to the Supreme Lord. This is Krishna's. And then by those activities, thinking, feeling, willing, and activity, the Supreme Lord will take us from the material energy and establish us on the transcendental platform. Just in the same way that this material energy we see described here is resting upon the Supreme Lord, so we are resting upon the Supreme Lord. Yayatam mam prapajyante tamsteva bhajami aham. All of them, as they surrender, I reward accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So in the Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter, verse 6 and 7, Krishna explains that to that devotee who offers all his activities to me and meditates upon me, I am the swift deliverer from birth and death. Krishna is given the name of Mukunda because only Mukunda gives liberation. So everything is dependent upon the Supreme Lord materially and spiritually. And this is the message given in the Amala Puran, second verse, Paramo Nimacharanam, that the non-envious, those that are non-envious of the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, they can understand the Bhagavatam. Those that are entranced in personalism, in voidistic thought, in materialistic aspiration, they cannot understand the Bhagavatam. In the same way that a foolish material scientist thinks that by writing a mathematical calculation of gravity, he has explained gravity. No, he has not explained gravity, the potency, why it is working. And he is not explaining why it exists in the first place. That is the description of the Bhagavatam. And therefore, in the beginning of the fifth canto, Sukadev Goswami explains that this description of the universe is understandable by those who are self-realized, who have understood their spiritual nature, whose consciousness is purified. Now you may think I'm not in that category, but if you apply yourself to this section of the Bhagavatam or any other section of the Bhagavatam, you will become self-realized. But ultimately, the Bhagavatam leads the conditioned soul not to an understanding of the material energy, but it gives him access to the transcendental realm. Therefore, the apex of the Bhagavatam is in the 10th canto, in the Ras Leela, in the description of Krishna. Because this is a hint, a picture of the spiritual world. So that is the meditation of the bhakta. Yes, this wonderful material creation is amazing. It is a chintya. It is practically ananta. But it points me towards that transcendental Lord of whom I am a part, of whom, to whom I belong, and who belongs to me. So that is the aim of the Bhagavatam. Therefore it is the Amala Puran. It is the spotless Puran, because it gives no credence to karma and jnana. But it is a rasa shastra that describes the wonder of the Supreme Absolute Truth. So through the Bhagavatam, we should practice smaranam on that unlimitedly potent Supreme Lord, Hari Ishwara. He is the Supreme Controller, Ananta Shakti. He is unlimited in variety, and he is Rasavaisaha, as in the Upanishads. He is the very embodiment of all mellows. servitude, neutrality, parental, conjugal, laughter, astonishment, chivalry, compassion, anger, dread, ghastliness, all these elements, these rasas, which are given in small enumeration, that intermingle, these are all based in this form of the Supreme Lord, as is everything. Everything is an expression of the Supreme Lord's potency. So the Bhagavatam teaches us not to see the material energy as separate from the Supreme Lord, but as a revelation of His glory and potency. So devotees, through the Bhagavatam, they practice smaranam, smaranam upon the form of the Lord. And in that fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita mentioned here, yakchakshur, it is an eye of the Supreme Lord. So for the devotee, he doesn't see just the sun, he sees the eye of the Supreme Lord. He relates it to the Supreme Lord. So Bhagavat philosophy, the aim of Bhagavat philosophy is to give impulse to the fallen soul to see everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord. Knowledge will turn to attraction. Attraction will turn to attachment, and attachment to the Supreme Lord will turn to prem. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, Sarakabanai, Shravanadi Sudachitte, Kirideudai. So the Bhagavatam is constructed for that purpose. So we should understand that. In the fifth canto, Lord Brahma explains that one should meditate upon Radha and Krishna, surrounded by the Chintamani, by the Lakshmis, in Golok Vrindavan, within a 1,000 petaled lotus, in the sphere of the heart. This, Lord Brahma says, is the meditation I give to my Sampradaya. You can read that if you like, get one Brahma Samhita. So when you're chanting, you fix your mind upon the form of the Lord in a devotional manner, and you offer all your activities to Him. That is the perfection of human life, and that will give you eternal life eventually. Srimad Bhagavatam Srila Prabhupada Sadhu Sangha Ki Jai. So any question? Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.